Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled. Pixel Sift is proudly sponsored by Audible. Audible is the premier audiobook store where you can pick up great books from a stack of different authors and readers. One of the best things about audiobooks and podcasting is you can get inside the minds of the people who make the things you enjoy, such as the comedian and actor Aziz Ansari, as he reads his book Modern Romance, where he digs into the way that people date in the 21st century, or Australian historian David Hunt, as he reads the unofficial history of Australia in his book Gert. If you're too busy to pick up a paperback, why not try a free audiobook on us? Head to audibletrial.com/pixelsift to grab a free book from one of the 180,000 titles that you can choose. You can play them on anything that has a headphone port or a speaker, and you can support Pixel Sift while you're at it. So that's audibletrial.com/pixelsift.
Hey there, welcome to Pixel Sift episode 66 live at Oz Comic Con Perth 2017. My name is Gianni. On the other end of the table in the yellow shirt, we've got Mitch, and he's struggling with a microphone.
Yeah, this is totally on, isn't it?
Yep. You're getting it, yeah. And joining us today, we're actually going to be talking all about the creative process. We're joined by three fantastic people from the WA creative scene. To my right is Soph Mather from Stirfire, formerly of SK Games. We've got Hien Pham, freelance comic artist extraordinaire, and Oscar Britton as well, who does amazing culturally relevant games about the West Australian scene. Loves the Frio stuff, so yeah. Basically, today we're going to be asking a little bit about why you're inspired to make things and to create things. But first up, though, I wonder if you guys could kind of tell us a little bit about who you are, how you came to do what you do, and, yeah, go from there. So who wants to kick us off? Hien, you're looking excited.
No. Okay, it's not on. Is it on? Yes, yeah, it is on. Sorry. Hi, everybody. My name is Hien. I originally came from Vietnam. I am a comic artist. I've always drawn comics. I also do games, QA, and just games in general. And that's about it. I come to the shows every single year just to shove my art in front of professional artists' face and tell them to yell at me about what I do wrong. So that's why I'm here.
And you're also going to be here to tell us all about why you make the stuff you do.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. Just give me 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then I'm okay. We'll get you back to it.
Okay.
What have you made?
I have made nothing that have made me money yet. But I've made a few just pitches I've sent to publishers. I have gotten into one anthology that will be coming up. But otherwise, a lot of my things will be up on my portfolio, which if anybody interested, they can look at the screens there or just come talk to me afterwards.
No worries. Yeah, we got some of your art actually up on the screens right now.
Yay, thank you.
Soph, how about you?
Well, I fell into the games industry through a really good friend of mine and went on this really weird adventure making weird arcade games and throwing parties, which taught me a lot about the creative process and what I like to get from it. And then somehow got poached by a really amazing creative game team, Stirfire. And now I kind of, do more game stuff. And it's kind of been an interesting ride, but I'm learning things every day and it's really exciting. So, yeah, that's what I do.
And Oscar, you've left uni now.
Yeah. How did you know that?
Oh, look, I stalked the hell out of you.
You just work at Centrelink, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So you should see him just when we're planning Pixel Civ. It's like, oh, what's Oscar up to? Oh, yes.
What's Oscar doing today? Hey?
His lunch looks good today.
My lunch looks good.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the sort of stuff that you do.
Well, I make games.
Which is why you're here.
Which is why I'm here. I make video games just by myself with other people. And I made a game called World's Fastest Pizza. That was my first game on Steam, and that's up, and you can buy it right now. Please buy it right now.
And the link is,
I don't know, the Steam links are weird. Yeah, but they need to work that out. The URLs suck. You can't just say the URL. And I'm working on another game now that in the next couple of weeks there will be like a demo out that people can play and a trailer, but it's all under wraps at the moment. And I've made a whole bunch of like free games that were all based on different Australian things. There's the Bachelor Deathmatch, which I've had so many people tell me I should just call it the Death Matchler.
Yeah.
Which it didn't occur to me at the time. And I made Centrelink Simulator, which we showed at PAX, and someone like wrote an article about it being like, oh, I came to PAX looking for Australian games and this was the one I found.
Mentioned the Pauline Hanson one.
Oh, yeah, and I made Pauline Hanson Simulator, which is...
What?
Which is... you haven't seen that one?
You should play it. It's really
Why don't
good.
We have footage of that?
Mitch, you got to spend a bit more time stalking Oscar, and then you'd know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have footage of it, because, like Pauline Hanson, it looks like shit, and it's really simple.
Sick burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what we're trying to discover today, because obviously you all do very different sort of things in the games industry and creative industry, what sort of things inspire you to make something? So, for example, Oscar, let's start with the Pauline Hanson Simulator. Why did you want to make that?
I can't remember what she said. She said something. It was like the day after she'd said something insane, and I was just like, oh, I'll jump on this and I'll make some crazy game. And then, and that was it. And it was just didn't, yeah.
And that's kind of the beauty of games as well, is like if something wacky happens in your day, you can be like, well, I can create something with this. And Oscar's like the number one person for doing that. I don't do that, but it's like, you know, it's the kind of medium that is, quite good for that, I think.
I mean, that's kind of also the same for comics as well. For example, the one thing I do very often every single day is lose my goddamn pencil, which I made into my business card. I made into a one-page comic and probably gonna sell it as Supernova as well. It's something simple, but it inspires something more. Like, we could extend it into something really silly and makes people happy. Or do something like this, gonna make a point. For example, Pauline Hanson stuff, which was amazing soundtrack. I really love that. I played it many times. it's about extending the simplest of idea and stretching as far as you can and see how you can go with that.
Do you feel like when you're actually making games and doing this sort of thing that having such a simple concept like that is really valuable, and that's a good way to, you know, to start? If people are maybe thinking about making their first game, is that a good way to look at it?
I think that, yes. It's having a really simple core idea is always good. Like, for example, even just from my comic stuff, one of the most common advice I've gotten from a portfolio review is that always start with a short story first. Because, you know, for a simple idea, you can end it, you know, really simply. And that's a really good thing, that to finish things before moving on to bigger things. And I think that's what having a really simple idea helps.
So how do you zero in on that one idea that you're going to say, all right, I have an idea, Pauline Hanson said something stupid. When do you think that becomes a production and like a project?
Like 2 minutes later. I like to set like deadlines and things for myself and just like a window, and that was 2 hours. So I wanted to make that game in 2 hours. So that's all that was. Something like that. It's tough working out. I spent like 6 months on a game once, and then I went away for like 2 weeks on holiday, and I came back and was like, this is shit, and I just got rid of it. And I think more important, more important than knowing what a good idea is knowing what a bad idea is. So, yeah, like, that's when you decide when to stop doing something rather than when to start doing something, because you should try everything, you know?
This coming from a man that made Pauline game about Pauline Hanson. Love it.
Yeah, that's when I should have stopped.
Oscar, you work by yourself mostly, unless you're doing sort of game jam stuff. How do you kind of work out if you've got a good idea or a bad idea? How do you bounce it off other people, or do you just go, nah?
Oh, man, when I find out, I'll let you know. I don't know. If it offends Ian, it's usually a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. All of your ideas.
Yeah. Well, I thought Pauline Hanson, like, this is going to offend so many people, and you were cool with it, so there you go.
Pauline Hanson is a terrible person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get political.
Oh, no.
Let's just talk about the creative process, shall we? We can take it off stage back at the after party or something like that.
Let's ask her about her creative process.
Yeah. Before you were at Stirfire, you worked for SK Games, and you did a lot of really interesting stuff with controllers and control schemes and just kind of changing the way that sort of people think about games. How did you come up with the ideas that you did for that? You know, you've got some really interesting ones, and feel free to tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you guys have worked on.
Okay, well, I guess me and Lou had known each other a long time, so there was a lot of trust there, which I think in a creative process, if you're teaming up with people, you do need that. You know, you need to trust each other, I guess. But I guess, you know, someone would come up with the idea, and it was very mixed on who the initial concept would come from. From my point of view, I got, like, if someone had an idea, I'd get really excited about the idea, and I was kind of like an enabler. Like, I'd want to, what can we do to make this the best idea ever or the stupidest idea ever, which often with SK ended up being, you know, that. I mean, Catnips was a game that came out that most people know. If they know SK, they know the Catnips game, which was, you know, that just came about chatting amongst ourselves, late one night, and we were just making jokes. And then someone said, isn't it funny how, like, you know, the controllers on an Xbox controller kind of look like nipples? And it escalated, the conversation escalated, and then we decided to make a game from that, because we were all about controllers. Like, we wanted to make interactive experiences with physical controllers and make people uncomfortable or laugh or whatever. And we did that with both aspects with Catnips. And then when they brought me that idea, I was just like, oh, what can I do with this? And so I personally wanted to just... They were going to make this game, and I'm like, no, if we're going to make these cats have to make people feel weird and just, you know, it's, yeah. So I really like, yeah, that aspect of it. What was the question? I can't remember the question now.
I've played Catnips, and mission accomplished. I felt weird.
Yeah. I mean, that was like when we did Bush Bash, which was a really Australiana kind of racing game. I wanted them to feel really dirty and, like, you know, just kind of like I am in this old beat up car, and you are literally sitting in an old beat up car when you play this game. And it's just like I wanted to make it as immersive as possible, so creatively that's the angle I went for. But it was always working with other people from their ideas, or I might have an idea too, and then they'd help me get there. But yeah, I don't know, did that answer the question? Yeah. All right, cool.
Sophie, when you're working with Louis, would you say that your ideas get SK-lated? That was very niche pun. I'm sorry. Okay.
No one has ever made that pun before. I'm so happy.
That was the last Pixel Civ ever. This is it.
Hien's here all week, guys. Check out the comics. Yeah, you said something really interesting there, talking about working in a team and kind of bouncing ideas off people. You're in a big team now, Soph. Working on a game that's just about to come out, and what's it like working with a team, and how do you kind of manage the different work styles of people? And, you know, some people are happy to have their headphones on and chug away, and some people have to talk to people and do that sort of thing. So,
yeah, that's it's really amazing having done the SK kind of management-y thing, and then going into this already formed team that's really growing. I'm learning so much working with Stirfire and the team that we work with. I don't manage any of that stuff. I'm I'm not that person at all. But watching, I mean, for example, our lead programmer who's sitting over there actually, and our creative director, you know, they've been working together for a long time, so they know each other really well. And I think what's been really interesting is to observe, people that know each other and just know how each other work, that's going to come really naturally. But then you add a whole bunch of other people in the mix at different levels, it takes heaps of management. And at that point where things are growing, and while the creative process is really fun and exciting, you still need to streamline it, and there still needs to be systems in place, particularly if you've got a release date looming. And so that's a really important aspect of professional creative processes, which is where Stirfire is at the moment.
How did that compare to doing ads? So how did that compare in comparison to like SK sort of stuff? How did you, just you and Lou doing a lot of this and friends?
I think the stakes were very different between the two places, so you can't compare. And what they wanted to achieve as well, like Lou wanted to achieve and get to a completely different area. I think with Stirfire, there's a lot more at stake as far as the people involved. There are people that love and, love working there, and it's just two different things. They're completely different. I'm not sure. But the creative, the passion is still there. I guess, the passion is equal in the both places, but how it has to come out on the table, I guess, is, really different. Yeah.
Now, Hien, Oscar, you guys have done some really interesting work, especially in game jam sort of environments where you are kind of thrown together in a team to do that sort of thing. How does that sort of compare to, Hien, I may be assuming here, but you probably work by yourself when you're doing your art stuff.
Yes.
It's probably not a collaborative process, but how does that compare working with other people when you're working to put something together for an event?
For me personally, I'm not sure if there's that much of a difference, because what I do is I draw. So when I'm working in a game jam or something like that, so my role would be the artist. So I'm get given these instructions of, so we need these things, and so now go ahead and draw them. So when I'm working by myself, instead of being given instruction, I would give myself instructions, but I would still end up doing the drawing myself. So in both cases, I still need the discipline of, I have a deadline. I have to meet that deadline, and here's how I'm going to meet that deadline. I do that every single time. And, in whatever situation I end up doing, I still follow that process just to keep myself on track. So for me personally, because the work I do in a team and the work I do by myself are so close together, there's not much of a difference. Oscar?
I think I didn't really work with people at first, and then when I started working with people, I think the difference was just the surprise I felt that there wasn't, you always feel like people are going to laugh if your abilities aren't up to scratch, and you always think people are going to think you're a bit stupid. And it's funny because it's not like that didn't happen. It's just like that didn't even, once you click with a group of people, it didn't, if it's the right group of people, it like that didn't even come up. So the people I work with, I think, are generally like, we all just kind of know what we're good at and things. And I kind of like that. It's like being in a family where you wouldn't tell like someone in your family that they're crap at something. And I don't know, that's the difference for me, is just like that fear that like you're not as good as other people, that, and they're going to like have to pick up the slack, that kind of melts away if you're with the right people. So
is that something you want to do more of, work in team stuff for your games, or are you still very much?
Yeah, I like working in teams, but I'm still not sure what role I like to fill in those teams yet. Like, I think I sort of just, I'm a bit of a loudmouth and things, so I usually kind of gravitate towards being some kind of leader, by force, usually.
Yeah.
And I just like the idea of just like sitting back from that a little bit. But I don't know.
You mentioned there a little bit about, I guess, the fear of sort of shaping up and working on anything creative. It's always a bit daunting. You never know whether you're going to turn up and there's going to be no one at your panel at a 5 o'clock on a Saturday session. And thankfully, there's some people here. It's always something that's a bit frightening. So that fear can often hold people back. How do you kind of get past that so that you can make sure you can make something?
Drugs.
Well, I just saw the paramedics walk in and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
That's why I thought of it.
It's a creative process.
I don't know. I mean, no, but in all seriousness, if there is some external thing, whether it be alcohol or something more illicit, that you can use to kind of grease those gears and just kind of be at ease with other people, as long as you're all drunk, it's fine.
Oscar, one of your influences behind World's Fastest Pizza was Fat Pizza, the TV show.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. I never thought I'd ever hear a developer say, I watched Fat Pizza, and I thought, yep, that could be a game. And then you made it. Legendary.
Can I just... Oh, hang on, wait, sorry. Can I just add with the fear thing, like, that's a valid, you know, answer, but I think also being with the right people that don't make you feel scared to... I'm still learning. The fear doesn't go away, but you got to really work hard to put yourself out there. And, yeah, when you're working with the right people, you shouldn't have those fears. Or at least when you have them, you can just... Those people can help you feel less scared. Yeah, it doesn't go away. Hasn't gone away for me.
For me, the fear is definitely always a factor, especially when you're in creative field, you always doubt yourself. But like Sophie said, it's important to find people who you are comfortable with and who you trust to give you the right feedback as well. It's like, okay, you know that, well, you have some self-doubt that, okay, my stuff is not up to scratch. Maybe I'll ask somebody who is better than myself. Then that person who is better than you should be a person who is comfortable with giving you good feedback, but at the same time, not just like be so harsh and so objective that it destroys you. Like, for example, I come here, like I said, to do portfolio reviews, and every single professional artist here, when they see like people like me who come up to them, they know that, okay, this person probably kind of think that my work is better than theirs. Than theirs. So I will give them advice that help them grow, but not necessarily make them stop doing art forever. So that's kind of artwork. That's kind of feedback is always really good. And I think you yourself also have to keep in mind that when you receive constructive criticism, be okay with feeling really bad, but know that this is for your own good as well. So look upon those and then improve, and then you'll be better. And then I guess you never stop having that fear, but it gets less and less, again, present in how you present yourself.
I guess to sort of follow on from that, what sort of inspires you to keep going and keep making stuff, even if you're feeling a bit like, oh, I don't know if this is the world's best project in the world, or maybe I can't do this, or, you know, you have those doubts. What are some of the things you look at and you think, oh, I really want to do this because I can see this thing, or I really want to do this because of X?
So, say, Oscar, don't say alcohol again.
Also, don't say drugs.
Had enough maybe. Of that.
For me personally, what inspires me is that I like being happy. So I like happy endings. I like gentle stories where people don't die, or queer people don't get killed, or nothing bad happens, because I like happy endings, please. Like, you know, the world is really bad as it is already. I don't want to consume media that makes me feel bad as well. So what I put out into the world is that things that make me happy, like, you know, dudes kissing, dudes embracing, dudes... I'd say dudes a lot, by the way. That's a lot of gay stuff that I'm doing. but yeah, it's just what inspires me, what makes me happy. So happy, gentle things in the world that's not yet happy and gentle.
What was the question? Yeah.
What inspires you, Oscar?
Just the opposite of everything you said, man. I like horrible things.
Pauline Hanson.
Lots of things inspire me. And I don't mean that like, oh, I'm some great person, but like, lots of things should inspire everyone, you know. I mean, no one got inspired by sitting around like their house all day just, you know, reading the same comics or playing the same games or listening to the same music. You should go out and do things. And you only have to look at like in video games, how many people will say, oh, what inspired this video game? And they're like, oh, well, this game I really liked, but I wanted it to be different in a way that I wanted, you know. So they're inspired by something they didn't really like. So I think that is something. I don't know how to finish that sentence. I guess something that inspires me. Just
things and stuff.
Go out and look at a lot of stuff and then be like, oh, okay, what doesn't exist, and go and make that, you know?
How about you, Soph?
Yeah, I from a games point of view, I guess other people inspire me. Like the communities that I've been involved in video games are so talented, and when I go and spend time with them and hear about what they're doing, or yeah, just hanging out, that I always come away from those experiences just going, oh, I've got to go do all these things. And sometimes I kind of wish I wasn't inspired, because my list of creative things that I want to do is just exhausting, and I just never do them. But it's still there. The list is relevant. But yeah, things that inspire me are, yeah, making people laugh or feel uncomfortable and their reactions, I guess. But yeah, in the games, it's the people that are making games and the stories that are coming out and the courage that people bring to the table with some of the stories they want to tell.
You talked a little bit about Hien. You talked a bit about making things that make you happy.
Yes.
What's your ultimate goal in terms of your creative process? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in 5 years' time here, in 10 years' time?
God damn it. It's not even to where I'm not even going to get a job panel afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really know. I would like to be independent in terms of publishing my comics, because that is where I get full, complete creative control. And that's where I get to choose what sort of happy things to put into the world. To sort of, I guess, follow up on Oscar's as well, and to add to this question, bad things also inspires me. For example, bad representations in terms of, hey, gay people are bad. No, they're fucking not. Sorry, I swore. So that sort of thing also inspires me to do better in terms of my representation. Like showcase that, hey, by the way, my existence is actually not really bad. Maybe you should check yourself. Something like that. So it would be nice to be in a position where I am able to put out things that affect people positively in the world. It makes me sound really like goody-two-shoes and stuff. I swear I do bad shit all the time.
You're illegally parked right now in the car park.
I don't even drive and I have a car parked.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. There you go.
What about you, Oscar? You're taking a bit of a tack on your life. Where would you like to be in, you know, that time, and what would you be happy with?
I think as long as I'm not in exactly the same place, that would be enough for me. You know, I don't think. Sorry.
Could be a worse place though. It's not exactly the same.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, how did I get there? That might have been interesting. You know. Yeah, I mean, sure. Everything's about the journey. I mean, where I am in 5 years' time. You said that, like, well, that's the conclusion of that 5 years, but that's the beginning of another 5 years. Oh, look at me! I'm a Hallmark card.
Yeah. What about you, Soph? What do you know? Where's your I don't know, your goals? Where are you aiming for?
Your 5 years.
Your 5 year plan.
Well, I don't have a 5 year plan, and I don't know what I'm doing. But I think I'm going to contradict everything I've just said. But because I spend a lot of time working on other people's projects and their creative dreams, and I have input into those, but I have this really big list that is kind of scary of just little projects that I'd like to finish. So on a creative level, I would like to start finishing some of my own personal projects and being brave enough to actually like release them, because I keep getting really close to finishing projects, and I've made this little like comic zine, and I've got one page till I'm finished, but I haven't finished it because then I've got to actually let it go. And then people might, I don't know, yeah. So that's why I want to finish some projects. That's my plan this year. And I will do it. Yes.
So, Johnny, what's the five-year plan for Pixel Sieve?
Well, let me tell you, Mitch.
I would like to know it.
Look, I can pull up the spreadsheet if you want. We'll throw it up on the screen. I've got my my SWOT analysis, my strength, weakness.
I withdraw the question.
I don't know. You know, not to be too self-indulgent about all this sort of stuff. I think it's really interesting with the creative...
Self-indulgent? Our logo is on the screen.
Well, this is our show, so...
I'm wearing a shirt.
Anyway, yeah, I think with the creative stuff, for what really inspires me to do things is I find it very satisfying to take sort of every day and make things more complex and better than the last time. And I compare to where we were last year when we did this panel, to the complexity of what we do now and the quality of the work, it's I don't know, just that gives me a lot of joy. And, you know, I like kind of working forward in that sort of way. So, yeah, for me, it doesn't really matter what I make as long as I'm making something. And as long as it's better than what I made last week in some way, then I'm pretty happy with that. So, agree, disagree? I don't know.
Absolutely. I aim to learn Premiere.
Yeah, Adobe Premiere.
Next week.
Okay, good luck.
What else can we say about the creative process? The one thing I always am curious to ask is, well, you know, the sort of the stumbling blocks and stuff that we talk about when you're trying to go through this stuff is always really fascinating to me. Can you guys sort of, I guess, describe some times that you thought that maybe this could be something, maybe you should change direction, that it isn't, you know, the right way, and what you did to kind of get past that point?
That just every single time I draw a comic ever. It's just, you
getting on stage to do this.
a little bit late now, that's good. It's every time there's always a point where you get really excited at the beginning, hey, this is a new idea, and you put it into action, and it's not exactly as you had imagined it. And that's the point where you start to question, like, oh, is something wrong? Should I change something? But usually, for me, at that point, I would come back and review everything. But I would also sort of trust myself to finish it off in the way that I had imagined it. Even if it's not exactly the way that I had imagined it originally, it will be something else that will surprise me. Like, every single illustration that you've seen on the screen, there's always one point I could remember that I'm like, this looks like crap. I shouldn't show this to other people. But now it's on a TV screen. So I guess I got past that point somehow.
Yeah.
It's just me pushing forward and then just trusting in the process that, hey, everything's going to fall into place. If not, I will have learned something. So that's good.
That's trusting that you're going to get to the right place. I think I just want to acknowledge that pretty much like all the major creative things I did, particularly with SK, was all like, it was planned. There was a plan. But I kind of just like use my intuition as well, and sometimes I'd like start the process and I'm like, I don't know how I'm even going to do this. I've got an idea. How am I going to do this? It's got to happen. And then somehow things start going wrong, but I just like have faith and in my ability. I don't even know why, but it somehow and just it happens, and then it's there, and I'm like, that's not exactly how I wanted it, but oh my God, I love it. I don't even know actually what my point was there. But
it sounded inspirational.
Damn it.
It sounded creative.
Yeah, that's my creative process. No plan. But a plan and then the plan falling apart. And then that's it. Having a plan, it falling apart and then it's still working out. That's my creative process.
What about you, Oscar?
Yeah, everyone who does anything creative, like anything, whether it's for their job, if they're just an architect, if they're doing anything other than just, you know,
just
basic
an architect
media I mean like someone who's doing something creative as like a hobby or a job, but anyone who's doing anything, there's when you first start, what you're making will be crap. Like it will be, you know, and like everyone feels that way. And if you're kind of looking at what you're doing and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should be doing this, I don't know if this is the right way to be going, that's a good sign, because that means that you have pretty good standards and you have pretty good taste and you know what good is, and you know that what you're producing now isn't very good or isn't up to your standards. And that's, to me, way more comforting than if you were started off and you're like, no, I'm just really good at this thing, isn't that great, and you were putting out complete crap and you didn't realize. And you know, I think like the important thing, and like you were saying, is just you just got to keep doing it, just push through. And you know, when you first start out, you're still learning, and learning requires routine and patience. And if you commit to that, then you'll get through it, and eventually your expectations will match your output. So I think, yeah, don't give up.
Can you guys think of a few examples of other people's sort of creative process that you're sort of inspired by or in awe of, or, you know, other people who are working on things? It can be anywhere. Do you think that's the way to do it?
I actually get pretty inspired by Oscar and Hien. I know that's cheesy. I'm not doing this on purpose, but I think like I love how Oscar just like smashes out this hilarious idea and has the kind of balls to do it, or just like does it anyway. And it's always really entertaining. And you just, I don't know how, I don't go home and get like, I don't know, you must spend a lot of time on that. And then he just like works his butt off, creating this beautiful art because he just has to. Like that's, he can't not do that. And so I find these two inspiring. Yeah, that's my end.
That's actually a really good point. And it sort of circles back to what you were saying before as well, is that there isn't like exactly one single creative process that I can point to and say, hey, this is what I kind of want to do. And this is what I want to imitate. It's more about seeing how other people do it and getting inspired by their process to then start my process, I guess. Like, for example, Sophie, you're really nice.
No,
I really like you.
Uh-oh.
don't worry about that. But yeah, like, you know, just a whole pixel shift even. It's like, there's a million podcasts out there already, and you guys still started it anyway, and you got there.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Doing
and
it
I get
anyway.
Inspired by that. Just do it anyway. There's a song about it, I think.
I like Jeremy Clarkson's thought process.
Well, not all of Jeremy Clarkson's thought processes.
Well, you know, not
some
all
of them are a bit like...
I like his mood rooms.
Huh?
I like his mood rooms.
He's got mood rooms, does
yeah.
he? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
I'm going to go
that.
Build a mood room at home. I'll just like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, turf out the PlayStations and chuck a mood room in there.
Yep.
Put a few lava lamps or something. I don't know what a mood room is.
Yeah.
How about you, Oscar? Who do you look at and say, look, that's a really great process and I really love what they do and how they get to that point?
Yeah. This is just on my mind at the moment, but just the Gorillaz and Damon Albarn. I'm just thinking of this because they just released a whole bunch of new music. But I just really like that. You know, it seems very casual, but also, yeah, that I think there's not a fear to just throw things out or do things differently, and they, you know, it's like a constantly evolving lineup of people and ideas and things. I really like that. I don't know. I think Damon Albarn once said it. He was like, I'd rather make the same thing in 10 different ways than make 10 different things in exactly the same way, you know? And I think I like that idea.
That's a good way to think about it. You know, we do for our stuff as well. We do the same thing every week. We do an episode every week, but we do it in 60 something different ways now that we've done that and put it together and things. So thanks, Damon Albarn, for giving me a bit of validation about what I'm doing. If anyone has any questions or, you know, are working on things as well and maybe have ideas about their creative process, we'd love to hear from you as well. Just stick your hand up and we'll send Mitch over with the microphone and he will point it in your face. So
jeez, don't get up at once.
Yes, everyone very excited for that. I think the thing for me, the reason why we asked you guys on, because you all have very sort of different styles of working on things, and the stuff that you make is really interesting and kind of different. What I find sort of inspiring from what you guys do is that, yeah, like Hien, I've known you for a long time now. You do comics art and all that sort of stuff, and you've been part of this other project that I run called the 24-Hour Comics Day in Perth. It's... Your drive to come along is really something really I find really inspiring. So all the stuff that you work on is always really, really interesting. Exactly. Has that feeling where you're just like, it's a bit weird. But it sticks with you. It sticks in your head and you're talking about it for ages. And, you know, there's countless people that I have talked to around the world about the weird controllers that you guys have made and weird games and interesting stuff. And Oscar, all of your stuff is just, I think it captures that Australian aesthetic perfectly. and which for a lot of people, you know, they're in the games industry. You know, there are Australian games out there who are made by Australian people, but there isn't huge amounts of games which really communicate that Australian experience as well. So, there's more and more of that. And I think as it gets better and better and more developed, we'll see more and more different types of stories. But that's something that I find really fascinating. So we've got a question.
Hi,
Hi. As local creators, do you guys have any advice or any like not any knowledge of any events or like, you know, local scenes where like creative people can get involved in WA? Because I think we all know like Perth's pretty tiny and we have quite a small population or creative scene compared to other cities. So like, do you guys know of any big names or, you know, regular events or areas which are like, I guess, best to try and get involved if you're an aspiring artist or game creator?
So I'll just repeat that, guys, so you can hear that. Do you guys know of any events or anything that people can get involved with if they want to kind of find like-minded people and good places to enjoy the sort of creative process? Maybe if you're in comics art, you should come check out the 24-hour comic day first weekend in October. That would be my suggestion.
All right, settle down.
Yeah, I totally do. There is it games that you're interested in or and art? Yeah. I mean, from games' point of view, it would be Let's Make Games is a really good hub to just know what's going on in Perth because it's actually bigger than you think, the community that's out there. There's like co-working spaces around the place. Play Up Perth is – have you heard of Play Up Perth? Yeah. And that's a good place to start because then you meet the people, the game jams that happen, obviously – but also just start your own as well. I mean, and if you get through to some of the channels, even Pixel Sift and Let's Make Games or whatever, yeah, that you get the word out and start your own events because that's a good thing too.
Do you have any answer?
Yeah. In my experience, I got into the games community by volunteering for the first Perth Game Festival because the entire idea of Perth Game Festival is that everybody there sort of works for free. In, well, the first year anyway, we would eventually like to be paid, John. But yeah, it's about sort of, this is what I really like. I want to give back to the community. So I volunteered for the first game festival, and then I showed up for level one, and then I showed up for all of the other things. And then from that, I got a connection to Gacha Stirfire and a connection to Let's Make Games. So I now do posters for the game festival, for example. So that's on the game side. In terms of art, in terms of comic art, for example, these conventions, I say these, but there's only two, which is this one and Supernova, where you can go and see professional artists and you bring your portfolio there and you ask them what they think. And that's how you improve, first and foremost. It's kind of hard in terms of comic art in Perth because there's only really one local publisher, which is Gestalt Comic. But if you just keep on doing that, I've been showing up to Gestalt Comic for 5 years, at like once a year, every single year, at Oz Comic Con. And now they remember my face. They remember what my art looks like. So just persistence is how you get that. And also, if you're interested in comic art, there is a comic network in Perth that, if you'd like, I can talk to you about afterwards as well. Yes.
Oscar? How about you, Oscar?
I've got to list everything. Well, there is Play Up Perth, which is like a game testing evening. It's once a... I don't know, man. I feel like I've always known you. Yeah, so there's Play Up Perth, which is like game testing, and it that's kind of good because even if you aren't making games, you just show up and play other people's games and be like, you know, the backseat designer and be like, oh, it'd be better if you just changed it completely. And, you know. So there's that. That's really good. That's on once a month up at the Nostalgia Box, it's just up in Northbridge, right? Then, yeah, just level one, which is a co-working space. So that costs money, doesn't it?
Does
it?
Not on Thursdays.
Free on Thursdays.
Not on Thursdays if you can't hear Ian. And then, oh, man, there's Let's Make Games is a group on Facebook, and that's like the WA game-making community hub thing. Then just in general, man, I'm feeling a lot of pressure here. Like I have to rep the entire state.
What about all the music stuff you do, Oscar? Tell us how to make, you know, music communities and things. What do you do for that?
What?
Your music stuff. You know, you're in a band.
Form a band, record a demo, and then go to a pub and be like, can we have a gig? That's how you do it.
Okay.
This whole panel is turning into remind Oscar what he does.
Yeah. Forgotten about that.
I just wanted to add, actually, I went to an event on Wednesday night. It's a group called the Sad Girls Collective, who put on like women-run events, basically. And it was poetry, music, and art, and zines. And there was a, like, so they had a little section for the gallery space. And they'd have someone reading poetry and then someone playing music. And it was like, I think there's a few interesting spaces that incorporate a few different mediums and styles, and they're really interesting. And there's a few of those around too. Anyway.
I just wanted to add quickly also just Twitter is also great. And if you want to make anything and then just use hashtag Screenshot Saturday, Indie Game, Indie Dev, Game Dev, just tweet pictures or video or GIFs or something of whatever you want. And yeah, I've made a lot of friends through just Twitter and things. So
Game Twitter is pretty robust, and there's also comic Twitter and a bunch of other sub-genres of that.
It's
We've got another question just over here. Yeah.
Hi, hello. I feel really bad. Mitch has been waiting on me, but I don't have anything to say. I just want to hear my voice when I listen to this later.
I can't hear.
What was that?
He wanted to know, what is the most important part about developing, in your opinion?
Developing games?
Yes.
Or any art? Okay.
I guess the most important part is persistence, because you just got to go get through it, you know? That's how you get things done. Get things done and persist. It's most important.
Finish things and release them to people. That's no one was ever celebrated as a great artist for 100 unfinished paintings, you know? Not that it should be about being a great artist, but, you know, you don't... As much as you like to think, I started this project, I got 2/3 through it, and I'm so much better now, I'm going to start something else and do it again, then,
I guess another thing I really want to add is it's really important to not be precious about what you're creating. Mm. Make sure that you're comfortable with just removing things. Mm. I've learned this habit of, I will make backups of my drawing, but I will not be afraid of erasing them. Mm. So it's so not being too precious about things, because I know that I can do better than that. Yeah. Or at least I can recreate something that's different and that maybe actually will achieve my goal. So don't be afraid to throw out things and just persist.
I want to add one too.
Yes.
And your own personal integrity is pretty important too. I think if you're creating something, you should make it about you and your beliefs in some levels. You don't have to, but I think it's a good way to go about things.
And on that note, I think that's a very good place to leave it. Look, can we get a round of applause for our guests today? Soph Mather, Hien Pham, and Oscar Britton. We have a weekly show. We are on every week, funnily enough, with a weekly show, where we talk to a lot of people in the Australian gaming industry, also in New Zealand. So if you want to know more about the creative process and how that all kind of comes about, listen into the show. Or hit up all of these guys. They've got a good web presence. They're on Twitter, all of them. We'll stick links into the description of this show on the website, which is pixelsift.com.au. Thank you very much for joining us.
See ya.
PixelSift is proudly sponsored by Audible. Audible is the premier audiobook store where you can pick up great books from a stack of different authors and readers. One of the best things about audiobooks and podcasting is that you can get inside the minds of the people who make the things you enjoy, such as the comedian and actor Aziz Ansari, as he reads his book Modern Romance, where he digs into the way that people date in the 21st century, or Australian historian David Hunt, as he reads the unofficial history of Australia in his book Gert. If you're too busy to pick up a paperback, why not try a free audiobook on us? Head to www.audibletrial.com/ Pixel Sift to grab a free book from one of the 180,000 titles that you can choose. You can play them on anything that has a headphone port or a speaker, and you can support Pixel Sift while you're at it. So that's audibletrial.com/pixelsift.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.